Yesterday, we spoke about the Rashba and his machlokas against Rashi. Do you need both kinuach hapeh and hadochas hapeh between gvina and basar? The Rashba says it's one or the other. Rashi says you need both. And that's how the Rif paskins. And Tosus agrees, di ramaskel mekaneach, yirandaf, kuf hei omed aleph. We also mentioned the tour. The tour seems to have a girsa that excludes kemach for adochas, for kinuach, excuse me, only in the case of kemach siorim. And others say that all kemachim are excluded because kemach is such that it doesn't do a good job as far as kinuach is concerned. The Shach even claims that there was a mistake in the text of the tour. The Knesset HaGdola, however, understands that when the Gemara says Hilchasa, and it says Bechol Mili Havi Kinuach, that's including even Kemach. And when it says Labar Mikimcha, that's referring to Saorim that was mentioned early in the Gemara. Early in the Gemara, we thought it was referring to lechem or pas shel siorim. Now it's saying it refers only to kemach shel siorim. And we discussed this yesterday. We also discussed Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda says, ochel basar, osur lechel gvina, but gvina muta lechel basar. And we pointed out that according to most Rishonim, Rav Chisda holds that even after he did kinuach and adocha, nevertheless he cannot eat gvina after basar, and he has to wait until a suda cheres, which is going to be the subject of our discussion today. But if on the other hand he ate gvina, he's allowed to eat basar immediately afterwards. All he needs is kinuach v'hadocha kedin. And this seems to be the opinion of Rashi as well. Dibra maschil ein kinuach. But other Rishonim, and Tosus back on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Dibra maschil of quotes these Rishonim, they write that there's no din of shehia or hamtana. You don't have to wait at all between basar and gvina. According to Rav Chisda only requires kinuach v'adocha. So if he ate basar, he's not allowed to eat gvina without kinuach v'adocha. But once he does kinuach v'adocha, then he's okay, he doesn't have to wait anymore. In the case, the reverse, where he ate gvina, he's allowed to eat basar immediately afterwards and he doesn't need kinuach and hadocha. Now, the reason why we're more machmir in the case of basar, when he started with basar, is because basar is motzi shuman v'nidvak bepeh v'taimo murgash zman rav achar achiloso. So if he eats cheese immediately after eating meat and he has the tam of basar befiv, it's as if he's eating basar together with cholov at the same time. And that seems to be Rashi here, dibra maskel osur. Rashi says, "Mishum de basar motzi shuman nidbak bepeh umarech betama." The Rambam says that the reason why we have shehiyah and we should wait after basar is because of basar ben hashinayim, which is going to be the next paragraph in our discussion here, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. And it means that basar ben hashinayim, according to the Rambam, is not removed properly through kinuach. The Tur writes that these two reasonings, whether it's because of tam, basar v'fiv, or whether it's because of basar ben hashinayim, have a chumra and a kula in both ways, both directions. According to Rashi, that the reason why you have to wait after basar is because of tam, basar v'fiv. This law, this din only applies in a case where he ate basar. And we talk about achila. But let's say, for example, he did le'isa b'piv. he only chews up the meat and then he spits it out. He gives it to a child. He has to chew it up to make it smaller so that the child could swallow it. According to Rashi, he would not need any hamtana after le'isa if there was no achila. And the reason for that is because when Rashi says that basar is motzi tam, is motzi shuman, he's referring to a case of achila. And marech betamu is a result of achila. So all he has in this case of le'isa is basar ben ashinayim. But that's not the reason why he has to wait. No, he can clean out the basar ben ashinayim. So that he can do what's called a nikur. That's what the Mefarshim called nikar ashinav hetev. So in the case where he chews it without swallowing it, Rashi would allow him to do a nikur ashinav hetev to remove the basar ben ashinayim, and then he's okay. All systems go. He can have milchiks immediately. The Rambam, on the other hand, who's worried about basar ben ashinayim, even in this case of le'isa without achila, he would be required to wait 6 hours. Because we don't rely on nikur, and there's always a chashash that maybe there's some residue of basar ben ashinayim, of meat stuck between the teeth. So it comes out that Rashi is the mekil, and the Rambam is the machmir. However, we can flip it around the other way. Let's take a case where he ate basar, he waited the 6 hours, would he have to clean out any shirayim of particles that are left between his teeth? According to the Rambam, he doesn't need to be menaker shinov, because even in event that some basar was left between his teeth, that basar, ben ashinayim, is called me'ukal. It's not called basar. On the other hand, according to Rashi Shita, if there's basar ben ashinayim, he needs to be menaker the basar, even after the passage of 6 hours, because the basar is still considered basar, and you're not letting him eat gevina if he still has basar befiv. So that now it turns out that the Rambam is going to be the mekil, because the Rambam holds that the period of time of hamtana, which is, let's say, 6 hours, or a little bit less, whatever it might be, we'll get to that, is in order to take the basar ben ashinayim and convert it into me'ukal. Rashi doesn't have such halacha. So the Rambam will allow you to eat gvina after 6 hours after basar, even without nikur. So there the Rambam becomes the mekil. Right, the Rambam was machmir le'isa because of basar ben ashinayim, but here, in the case where Avru Sheishos, there's no din of basar ben ashinayim anymore. The Paka din or Chalashem Basa in the case of basar ben ashinayim. And that was the purpose of Hamtana Sheishos. He's not in need for Nikur, because what he's removing between his teeth, although they're physically, materially particles of meat, they are not Alpi din considered meat. It's no longer basar ben ashinayim. Rashi, on the other hand, would be the machmir here, requiring nikur after 6 hours. Rashi doesn't have this halacha that basar ben ashinayim after 6 hours is batel. It's nis'akel. So just to summarize, we have machlokas Rashi and the Rambam about the 6 hours, and what's the reason for waiting after meat before you eat milchiks. Rashi's going with tam basar befiv, and that only applies after achilas basar. The Rambam applies a different reasoning. The underlying tam for waiting is because of basar ben ashinayim. We have to convert the basar ben ashinayim into something that's not basar. You'd be mafkir the shame basar, and that's with the passage of 6 hours. The Rambam, on the other hand, would say that le'isa requires waiting, because we have to convert the basar ben ashinayim to me'ukal. But on the other hand, the Rambam would be mekil after 6 hours, even if there's still basar ben ashinayim, he would not require nikur, whereas Rashi would require nikur. And this brings us to the Gemara on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph of Gufa, and the Gemara is now going back to Rav Chisda. And Omar Rav Chisda, Ochal basar asa lechol gvina, gvina muta lechol basar. Omar Rav Acha bar Rav Yosef, Rav Chisda, basar shebein ashinayim mahu. In other words, what happens if between one meal and the other, between the basar and the gvina, and again, according to Rav Chisda, you're not allowed to eat the gvina immediately, you need this waiting period. What happens if he has basar bein hashinayim? Is that called basar? Meaning, is it absolutely necessary to remove the basar bein hashinayim in order to allow him to eat a milcha kamil? Or should we say no? Once the tam of the basar is gone, then the basar bein hashinayim doesn't have any tam to it. It's already considered ma'ukal and ein shmo shel basar olav. This is how the Rush and the Ra'ah and the Ritva interpret the sugya. There may be other ways of interpreting the sugya based on a Rambam. That's something that needs more careful investigation. The Kari Allah and the response Rav Chisda was by quoting a pasuk in Bamidbar Yud Aleph, and there the Torah says, HaBasar Odenu Bein Hashinayim. And what we're going to derive from this pasuk is that even the Basar Bein Hashinayim still has a Shem Basar on it. And it still is subject to the Isa Basar B'cholov, and therefore he would not be allowed to eat Gvina until he removed the Basar Bein Hashinayim. So Omar Mar Ukva, Ana Laha Milsa Chola Bar Chamro Legabi Abba.
Wait, where are you?
This is such a
Omar Mar Ukva. Do you see it? It's about halfway down the page. And the first word in the line is Mar. See if you can find it.
Oh, yeah, I found it. Okay.
Good. Now, Mar Ukva is talking about his father. We don't know exactly who his father was, but apparently he was a very pious individual. And when Mar Ukva compares himself, as a son often does, to his father, especially with regard to religious observance, he feels that he's dwarfed by his father. His father's so great. He says about himself, I'm like chometz ben yayin. I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. Like wine, if you leave it too long, it gets sour. It becomes vinegar. And he basically says, I'm much worse than my father. Why? To Ilu Abba, my father, ki avi ochel bisra, when he ate basar, ha'idna, today, lo avi ochel gvina ad lemachar, ad hashta. He would wait until tomorrow to eat cheese. Ad hashta means a full 24 hours. The ilu anna, but I, says Maruk about himself, I'm not such a machner like my father, baha, I will not eat milchiks in the same meal that I ate basar. But if I eat another meal, I finish my meal of meat and I'm ready at some point, we'll have to see at what point, to eat a meal of that consists of milchiks, I have no inhibitions about it. I will eat the cheese. Now, what I want to do for a moment is summarize three Mefarshim. One is the Ran, the second is Tosfos, and the third is the Marshal. Again, the Ran and Tosfos, they span the period of Rishonim. The Marshal, we're really fast-forwarding to like 5 centuries ago. So the Ran points out the following, that if a person eats basar and he waits a short amount of time, if he would find that after this short amount of time, period of time, he has particles of meat stuck between his teeth, then he would not have to wait whatever period of time we're going to define here, to lesuda achrita, but rather all he would have to do is nikur, meaning he would have to do a very thorough cleansing to remove the basar bein hashinayim. In other words, what the Ran is saying is that the shear of Sheish Shos, that's going to only apply, and we're going to start, calculating, when does the clock start ticking, in order to set up this period of time, which in the Gemara's language is called Misa'uda L'Sa'uda, in the Poskim it's called 6 hours. Well, again, I'm not going into all the details. This is which we didn't even start the sugya, so don't. Okay.
No question.
He said, right, no, I mean, we didn't even get, you know, we didn't even get to Aschola here. So let's just try to get the facts down on the ground. So according to the Ran, even though Basa Ben Hashinayim is something that we have to get rid of in order to eat milchiks, but nevertheless, if he had what's called a shehiyah ktsas, he waited a short period of time, he doesn't tell us how long, and he finds basa ben shinayim, he's not going to require a 6 hours based on the basa ben shinayim. In other words, let's go according to that opinion that there's a short period of time that you have to wait between meat and milk. Again, we're going to have another sheet as we said, misuda l'suda, but we're not ready for that sheet yet. At this point, the Ran is presenting a sheet that the shear of hamtana, the amount of time you have to wait after basar, is a very short period of time. And the question is, what happens if you waited that period of time, whatever it might be, let's say you waited an hour, and now you find basa ben shinayim? Do you have to get rid of the basa ben shinayim? That's for sure. There's no question about it. Do you have to now calculate that shear of zman, whatever that zman is, an hour, from the moment of time that you got rid of basa ben shinayim? Says the Ran, no. What's mechayev shehiya is only achilas basar, but you would not have a chiyuv shehiya just simply based on the fact that you found basar ben shinayim. So if you already fulfilled the shehiya, and it means an hour passed by since you ate the basar, I'm just using that as an example, 1 hour of shehiya, and now you find basar ben shinayim, although on the one hand you got to get rid of the basar ben shinayim, but on the other hand the Ran says you don't have to wait that shehiya of shehiya. So the shear of shehiyah is related to achila, and once that shear of shehiyah was implemented and the time passed, you do not set up a new machayev of shehiyah based on basa ben shinayim. Basa ben shinayim, although it has to be, you know, you have to be rid of it, but it's not the same as achila. Let's not equate basa ben shinayim with achila's basa. So achila's basa is machayev shehiyah, but basa ben shinayim is not machayev shehiyah. What that means is that basa ben shinayim is an entity of basa, but it's not an achilas basa. It's just simply trapped particles of meat between the teeth. So when you eat basa and it goes down into your stomach, then you need shehir, whatever that shehir is, and that's what we're going to have to discuss, the various opinions. But when you find basa ben shinayim and you've already passed the shehir, you don't start kicking off and clocking a new shehir of hamtana based on basa ben shinayim. You got to get rid of the basa ben shinayim, because the Gemara's conclusion with that is that basa ben shinayim is significant, but it's not significant enough to be upgraded to the status of an achila, such that I have to wait the shehir hamtana, the shehir of shehir, after I found the basa ben shinayim. That's the Ran. Okay, now I want to talk to you about Tosfos. This is a summary of we're not ready for Rebbe Tam yet, but do you see Tosfos says L'sudas achrita achilna? You see that, Tosfos?
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks about a seuda sheregilim lasos achar shachris v'achar arvis. Now, some people will eat two meals, a big breakfast and a big dinner. And you would think that when Mar Ukva says about himself that he waited from Sa'uda to Suda, it means he waited from the morning all the way to the evening in that particular scenario. No. Tosfos says, Afil li alter. What he means by Sa'uda la Suda means it's not a matter of time. You don't measure it in time. But rather, you need a mafsik. A mafsik means to set up a termination of the first Suda so that now he can begin his second Suda. He cannot integrate basar and gvina into one single seuda, one unit, but if he does X, Y, and Z, which will now complete and terminate his first Suda of Basar, then he can immediately set up his Suda of Chalav. And that's what it means by Suda Achrita. Suda Achrita means simply one Suda is Basar, now he needs another Suda, a different Suda of Chalav.
Is Tosafot only explaining the Gemara, or also talking about halacha lamaase in his opinion?
You know, it's hard to say. I assume that it's probably halacha lamaase in his opinion, but I would wait to see more information from the poskim. He's just interpreting the Gemara now.
Okay.
And what sets up, says Tosafot, a new suda? How do you terminate the first suda? What splits one suda and wedges between the first and the second? So Tosafot sets up two requirements. One is called Siluk HaShulchan and the other is called Bracha. So Siluk HaShulchan means we have to clear off the table. In those days they used to eat on a small table. They would take the table out and then they would put back another table, a small table, and they'd eat on the second table. So the second suda was on a different table. Today all we would need is to clear off the table. Then Tosafot says you need a Bracha. He's referring to the Bracha Achrona. A Bracha Achrona is considered a termination of a suda. Okay, now I'm going to read to you the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah is one of the Bali HaTosfos, but very, very rarely quoted in the Tosfos. I think he does appear in a few Tosfos in the Shas. And he says the following, that if you're going to talk about Suda L'Suda, meaning from the first Suda till the second Suda, and measure it in time, he says, what shear of Zman can you come to of Bein Suda L'Suda? There's nothing really objective. The halacha has to be objective. It has to say, well, you finished the meat, you want to eat the milk, here's what you have to do, here's what you have to wait. To say something like Suda L'Suda, well, that, you know, that's something that's very subjective. You know, you, when did you eat the meat, and when are you going to eat your next Suda, or on a general basis, when do you eat the two Sudas? The Tosafot mentions a case where you eat the Suda in the morning and then the Suda in the evening. So the Rav Yos says that if you take Suda L'Suda as a time factor, meaning it's a measurement of time that you have to wait, then you violate a rule, a halachic rule, which is Lo Chilku Chachamim B'Shi'urim, that the Chachamim don't make Shi'urim into something subjective, something that changes and reflects individuals. But rather, we need an absolute rule. And what is that absolute rule that will apply straight across the board for every Jew? And that is that after he finishes eating his meat, he's got to be mesalik his shulchan, and he has to be mevarech birkas hamazon. Then he can eat cheese, because he's terminated his suda. That's objective for everyone. And I believe that that's hinted at by the last three words in Tosfos. Although Tosfos doesn't give the whole spiel of the Rav Yah with the lo plug and this and that, and shiurim lo chilku chacham b'shiurim, but if you take a look at the last three words in Tosfos, he says the lo plug rabbanon. Those three words sort of like hang out in the, you know, they're mitlutoli b'avira. And what do they mean? They mean that the reason why Tosfos rejects the opinion that we wait from one suda to the other, he eats his main suda at night after a whole day, and we'd have to wait the whole day to eat milchiks until it's time for his main suda at night, is because then you would violate the principle of lo chilku chachamim b'shiurim. So the Taz writes that even according to the Bali HaTosfos,
just one second. Huh?
Yes.
That's a certain subjectivity, right?
No, not at all. It's true for you, me, and everybody. Meaning, all of us, if we finished our Suda, immediately we can eat milk.
No matter how long the Suda takes.
Yeah, when you decide you finish the Suda, and again, we have to objectify that with those two requirements of Siluk HaShulchan and Birkas HaMazon, then finish your Suda, Siluk HaShulchan, Birkas HaMazon, and immediately eat cheese. And that's true for everybody. That doesn't change. And therefore, there's no violation of the principle of Lo Chilku Chachamim B'Shiureya. It's one shear for everybody. Do you follow what I mean?
As long as it's Siluk HaShulchan and Birkas.
Correct. But that's objective for everyone. That's not going to change between me and you.
Right.
So you decide when you're ready to do these two pulos. I'll decide when I'm ready, and then the halacha says that exactly is the shear of misuda usuda. Why? Because you've separated two sudas. So the Taz writes that it's not really the way you understand it. He says you can't just say, well, you know what, I'm going to be masalik myself and make a declaration that I finished the suda, and then he's going to eat immediately, and he knows he's going to eat immediately gavina. So what does that mean? Is this really a siluk? You know, if the whole point of shulchan and birkas hamazon is to make a conclusion, a termination of the suda, well, who are you fooling? I mean, you have full intention to eat the cheese, so you're rushing with a siluk and a bracha simply because you want to start your suda of cheese immediately, right? So that's not really siluk. So the Taz says you have to add another condition here, another variable into the equation. It's not enough just to do the physical pa'ula of siluk. You have to be elabi mesalik atzmo minasuda legamre. What does that mean? Atzmo minasuda legamre? Shelo hoya daito lechol miyad acherkach. Now again, don't quote me on this, but I think the post can say like you should walk around the block, you should take, you should get involved in some sort of activity. Again, in inverted commas, whatever that activity might be, and the post can have to go into detail, which really indicates that you're not ready to eat your suda immediately. So after you finish your meat meal, you did your siluk, you did your birkas hamazon, now take a break, go for a jog. And that would mean that you're not going to start your suda immediately. Again, we're not measuring it in time, but rather we're measuring it in terms of his kavana, that he should have das lesalikas atzmo minasuda legamre. Aval imu mevarach birkas hamazon kidei sheyochal miyad acher kach gvina. Right, he's pulling the shtick and he says, "Oh, I'm going to bench so that I can eat my cheese." Harei lo silek atzmo minasuda v'asur lechol gvina. Now, all the Rishonim seem to be against this Taz. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Balaita, the Rush. They write, just one second, I said that they're all against the Taz. Let me just, the Seder HaDvarim here is a little bit confusing. They're all against the Baliatosis here. They write, Tzarech lahamtin kishir zman shebein sudas pokal sudas erev. Shem hasudos hakvuos. In other words, according to all these Rishonim, and that's reflected in our minhag, it's not enough just to terminate one suda and then go ahead and eat milvix, another suda. No, you need an hamtana of shir zman. But the problem is lo chilku chacham b'shiurim. So what is this shir of zman of bein suuda? Let's say the main suda in the morning and the main suda at night. How much time has to pass by? So the Rambam writes, "Hu kishe shos." It's like 6 hours, and this is going to have a tremendous impact on all the poskim, like a ripple effect, that the Rambam says that there is an objective shear of zman for everyone, which is equivalent to bein suda l'suda. It's not sufficient just to terminate one suda, now try after you finish with your fleshik suda, set up a milch suda. We need a shehi of zman, but it's not subjective, it's objective.
But there's that kaf. Says kishe.
Okay, yeah, we'll get back to that too. I mean, my father's minig was not to wait full 6 hours because the Rambam says kishe shos. By the way, the Masifta doesn't even quote this Rambam. I just threw it in. I didn't realize you'd be sharp enough to catch it. Kol kavod. So now we're up to round three. We're up to the Marshal. The Marshal, the Chochma Shlomo, about 5 centuries ago, says the following, that even though the Rambam objectifies the shear of zman between suda suda, let's call it 6 hours, nevertheless, says the Marshal, you have to add a very important proviso. He says even the Rambam requires suuda acheres. So let's say, for example, you had a very, very long suuda that began, you know, many, many hours ago, and it continues, and that suda was an asudas basor. even though 6 hours and more have passed since he ate the basa, nevertheless, also lechol gvina achar basa. This is the famous Marshal. The Marshal says that what the Rambam is doing, and all those who accept the Rambam, is adding another condition to Tosus. Tosus says you need a siluk, you have to terminate one suda, you can't eat meat and milk in the same suda. And the Rambam agrees with that. The Rambam wants to add another condition of sheish shos. But don't think that sheish shos in and of itself is an automatic matir to allow you to eat gvina, because in addition you have the Tosus, and the Rambam accepts the Tosus, that you have to set up a different suda. Everybody got that? So the Marshal is saying that even the Rambam, who sets up a shear of 6 hours, would also require that the achilas gvina would be in a different suda. Hence we would have to, in a long, long suda, the Gishlepta suda that starts at 9 in the morning and ends at 9 at night, and you never benched, you would have to bench if you want to eat gvina, even though many more than 6 hours have passed. There are two conditions that have to be met. That's the shita of the Marshal.
It's like at a wedding where the meal goes on.
Yeah, by chassidim also. They have, I'm not sure if it's every chassidish wedding or only the mishinical when they marry off the youngest. I forget right now, but I'm cloudy on the chassidish and minhagim. But they could go through the whole night with a simcha, with a sudas nesuah, through the night till daybreak. It could last literally for 10 hours, and I'm not exaggerating. So in such a case, you could not eat gvina, even though 6 hours have passed. Because there are two requirements to set up a su'uda achrita. A su'uda achrita has to be set up in terms of a halachic act that terminates the su'uda, and that's called siluk and bracha. And then you need a certain shir of zman, which is considered the zman of su'uda l'su'uda. Now we're up to the Marshal's kash. Why is Mar Ukva Mekil, where his father was Machmir?
I think that question was asked to my students over and over again.
Oh, okay. So they're Machavi to the Marshal. They're in good company.
Yeah.
The Marshal is perplexed. He says, if Mar Ukva disagrees with his father, the Cholak Olav is Parbekach al Derech. If he was really boasting because he felt that his father's behavior pattern was overly pious, meaning
too from it
was a chumra that you don't need, so comes along Marukva, excuse me, and he's very proud of himself because he says, I'm going to go back to the main primary thrust of the din, and there's no need to wait till tomorrow. Then he shouldn't have called himself Chala Bar Chamra. Why is he belittled himself? I'm like vinegar compared to wine. If on the other hand, if he really advocated or accepted the opinion of his father, and his father was correct, and that's why he calls himself vinegar, then Madua Hikil Yosef Miaviv. What gave him the right to be more Mekil? Do you hear the Marshal's kash?
Yeah, it's
a beautiful bimonavshach. If he, Mar Ukva, felt he was right al pi din, and he's boasting about the fact that koch the tera adif, why does he call himself vinegar? And if on the other hand he calls himself vinegar because he thinks his father is right, so why was he mekil? This is what we call niskatnu adoros. Maybe already by, you know, from the father to the son, he already gets so hungry he was chalishing away. He had to eat his cheese. I don't know. But I'm just joking with you. But what's the answer? So the Marshal comes up with a very original answer, and he says the following: Gam aviv lo haya mekubo mirabosav. He sets up some very interesting rules and a description of the scenario. The father of Mar Ukva had no tradition from his rebbeim to wait a full 24 hours. Me'es le'es. The only kabbalah they had was lo lechol gvino achol basar ki im misu'uda l'su'uda. That was the kabbalah. Now we have to understand, what does it mean? Misu'uda l'su'uda. So the father said, let's be machmir, and let's assume that the intention of this halach that was transmitted is the suda kvua ve'ikris. And in the perspective of the father, there's only one Seuda which could be described as the Seuda with a Hey Ayidia. It's Kvua and it's Ikris. All the other Seudas that we eat, you know, we chaplap if we have it, we don't have time, whatever. But we all eat one Seuda. I guess we would call it in our language dinner. You know, you come home and your wife puts a dinner on the table. That's called a Seuda Kvua of the Ikris. And the Marshal goes on to say that kachia minog etzal gedolim v'chashuvim. In other words, other people who, you know, maybe their time is not so precious, they'll eat all the time. You know, give me a suda here and a brunch here, and they'll eat five sudas a day. But the gedolim and the chashuvim, who have a tremendous respect and care for time, then they will set up one major suda. And that's it. The rest of the day, if they took a little carrot into their mouth, a vegetable or something to keep them going, that would be fine. So therefore, says the father, that all the sudas that a person eats during the day, those are called the sudos aroi. Aroi means a temporary kind of a fast eat suda. Right? Fast food, we could call it. Relative to this main suda, which is kvua and ikris. And therefore, if you're talking about a zman amtona, a time period of misa'udu l'suda, it means a suda kvua v'ikris. And enochinami, that's going to be a full 24 hours. Bar Ukva, the son, on the other hand, he says that it's too difficult for him to accept such a chumra. Let's go back to the original formulation of misa'udu l'suda. Let's see if we can reinterpret it and accept a valid pshat that could allow him to be mekil. Why? Because there's a pressing need to be mekil. To wait a full 24 hours to eat milchiks is a little bit too much. And therefore, he assumes, Mar Ukva, the son, that misuda lasuda means some sort of a middle-of-the-road path which most people take. And most people have two main meals during the day. They have a late breakfast and an early dinner. And that's going to be a period of 6 hours. Now, you know, if we haven't heard enough of the Marshal, again, two brilliant chidushim, the Marshal number one, that the Rama who talks about 6 hours also requires what Tosus requires, a hefsek suda of Siluk and Broch. And number two, the Marshal justifying the difference between the father and the son in the case of our Ukva. Now the Marshal goes on. Now, in order to appreciate the Hemshech of the Marshal, I think we should read the next piece of Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Anola HaMilsa, in the following context, which we're about to reveal, we didn't get to that yet. Anola milsa, I consider myself in the following case, chola bar chamra, I'm vinegar, the son of wine, legaviyava, compared to my father. Now, you should know, I'm sure you know, but I'll just review it, that the father of Shmuel has no name in Shas. He's called Avua de Shmuel. And he says the following, Ilu Abba havi sayer nichse tre zimni bioma. My father's minig was to check out his karka, investigate it, to see if it needs any fixing, twice a day. Okay, we have to see why. V'ano, but myself, this is Shmuel's own self-testimony, lo sirena, I don't go out to be misayer, to mean to check my fields, ela chadazin, I only do it once a day. So the Gemara explains this statement of Shmuel. Shmuel l'tameh, Shmuel is going according to, consistent with his shita, that it's a great maila for a person to check out his nechasim. D'yomar Shmuel, man desire nichse kol yoma, anyone who checks out, he investigates his real estate, his property on a daily basis, mishkach istira. In other words, he will keep, and again, this is an idiomatic phrase, I don't want you to take it literally, but I'll give you the literal translation. He will find a sella. He will find a very important silver coin. What that means is, he'll be able to make a serious profit. Now, the Marshal asks the following question. This whole Gemara here is very, very odd, especially as a Hemshech of the previous Gemara. Now, we understand that Mar Ukva was boasting, was praising his father, who was very machmir, in waiting between the eating of cheese and the previous earlier eating of meat. But here, what kind of a chumra is Shmuel talking about his father, that I'm like vinegar compared to my father? His father would check his fields twice a day. What's it all about? You know, some sort of financial benefit? Because if, let's say, you find that your fields are inundated, or there's a threat of a river coming to flood your field, you immediately take precautions, check it out twice a day. I mean, I would say that a person who checks it out twice a day, you know, is going to ultimately check it out every hour. He becomes what's it called in psychology?
Obsessed.
Yeah, obsessed. Obsessive. Yeah,
obsessive compulsive.
Compulsive. And how do you say it in Russian, Tavis?
OCD.
OCD. He can become OCD. But really, what the Marshal is bothered by, that this whole sugya is very odd, because it's all about profit. Financial profit. So let's write a text, you know, Economics 101, how do you take care of your real estate? But therefore Shmuel has to belittle himself in comparison to his father?
It's not very yeshivish.
Right. And no, again, keep in mind that this should fit into a pattern that is somewhat similar to the previous Gemara about Mar Ukva.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you give me a course in economics and telling me how to take care of my fields. What does that have to do with, you know, with Chumras Avera? So the Marshal introduces what I call Jewish ethics. And that is Tzadikim Medadikim Al Mamonam Kechut HaSaira. That Tzadikim are very careful about their mama. And I'm going to add my own little footnote here that we saw by Yaakov Avinu. Remember when Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, Chazal say he went back on Pachan Ketan, you know, the little vessels that got left behind, and that's when the Malach of Esav attacked him. Well, maybe what the Malach of Esav attacked wasn't aware of the fact that Tzadikim Amidagdikim Amamonim. Now, why are Tzadikim Amidagdikim Amamonim? So I'll give you my answer, but first I want to give you the Marshal's answer. You know, I'm like vinegar over here. So let's get the Marshal's answer. The Marshal's answer is that there's a principle which is derived from Apostle Mishlei, Soni Matonis Yichya, which means Al Titztarech Lebrios. We don't want to be dependent on others. We, you know, a tzaddik wants to be independent. Maybe because he wants to be totally dependent upon God. Maybe he doesn't want to owe a favor to someone. Maybe he wants to be objective if, let's say, a question comes up, and now he'll be a little subjective. But in any event, you don't want to be dependent upon others. It's humiliating to be dependent on others. V'atzadik rotza lihenos mishalo umigiyoso. In other words, again, this might not sound so yeshivish, but we find throughout Chazal that each one had a living, you know, Rabbi Yeshua Nafcha, he was a carpenter, this one was a shoemaker, and everything else. They wanted to be nenemi igia kapav. They don't want to get gifts. The Rambam is wild about this idea. Mine is very extreme. You want to be financially independent at all costs, even if it means giving up some Torah learning, and even significant Torah learning. You don't want to be supported by others. Therefore, Shmuel compares himself to his father, and he says, I am like vinegar to wine. Why? Because his father had a zahirus, but Shmuel himself had, his zahirus was p'chusa, was half, you know, was worth at least quantitatively half the volume of the zahirus of his father. Why all the zahirus? Well, we don't have to become compulsive, but we really have to take care of our nechassim in the proper way, because otherwise we're going to be in the poorhouse and we're going to have to depend upon others. Like Chazal say with regard to Shabbos, Asei Shabbat Chachol, again this is my addition, V'al Titztarech Lebrios. So even if you don't have a great cholent for Shabbos, instead of knocking on someone's door and asking for a cholent to hand out, then you should make do with something less beautiful for Shabbos than cholent. However, the Chafetz Chaim wants to reinterpret this whole Gemara. It's all allegorical. And the kinyan here is not a kinyan moment that we're talking about. We're not talking about physical possessions, but rather kinyanim ruchniyim. We're talking about possessions that are spiritual. And these are the possessions that project a person to infinity, to immortality, lenetzach. Avud Shmuel was such a chassid that anything that came up, any question about behavior, he would be mechashev two times every day. In other words, he would think and rethink, how do I say something, how do I do something, how do I interact with a person, how do I make sure that my tefillin are kosher, my tzitzis are good, and my brachas, and my yira, and everything else. Twice a day, he would inspect himself and determine his course of action. And the Chafetz Chaim goes on to say the following, to describe Avud Shmuel. Again, this is all a figment of the Chafetz Chaim's imagination. Totally creative. He says, Pam Mitzarayim, Upam Balayla. That the father of Shmuel would check himself out in terms of his Kinyanim Ruchniyim, Mitzarayim, you know, that's like midday, and at night. Why? Bitzarayim lisbonen im kie mashikibul olav baboker. He was makabel ol mitzvahs in the morning. Let's take Kriya Shema as an example. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim. Now he wants to investigate. He wants to introspect. What have I done with my time from the morning till the afternoon? And then again, what have I done from the afternoon to the night? But balayla gamkin ayim lisbonen baseshuv. That was the zehirus of Avud de Shmuel in Kinyanim Ruchni. Shmuel, Beno, Hayakot Mimeno. For who are you misvoting Rak Pam Achas Biyom? For him it was enough if he would do an introspection, a self investigation once a day. And therefore Shmuel compares himself to his father as vinegar to wine. And the Chafetz Chaim adds one other point. He says that this vinegar idea means that something got spoiled. The wine was left unchecked. If you check your wine frequently, you can figure out that there's something going wrong over here, that there's a process of fermentation, and it's not metukon, and then he could go ahead and be metakin. And so too in a person's spiritual life, he should be constantly investigating, introspecting, and inspecting himself, that maybe there are things that aren't metukonim, and he can improve them. So this is all the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim wrote a book called Shem Olam. And this presentation that we just had is based on the book Shem Olam. What I like about this Chafetz Chaim are two things. Not that he needs my askama. But number one, we appreciate on an even more profound level how this story of Shmuel comparing himself to his father is a hemshech, is a mirror image of the previous story about Mar Ukva and his father. We're dealing with spirituality. Neto. According to the Marshal, we're dealing with spirituality, but it's coming through materialism. In a certain sense, the Marshal's pshat is more profound, because what it means is that a tzaddik is so medagdik, he doesn't want to be dependent upon others, that he has to guarantee that his nechasim are well preserved. I like a second thing about the Chofetz Chaim, also again in terms of the relationship between this piece of Gemara of Avud Shmuel and Shmuel and the previous piece of Gemara about Mar Ukva and his father. And that is, we're talking about time periods within the day. Right? The Marshal doesn't get into, you know, how you should break up the day and investigate your karka. Maybe the Marshal would say that Avud Shmuel would investigate his karka at 7 a.m. with daybreak, you know, right after he finished Vasikin, and check it out again much, much later on at night. I don't know. You know, after the rains fall or something. But the Chofetz Chaim's Prat and Shem Olam is that we're really looking at the day and we're setting up different specific parts of the day, which I think is really the discussion here between the son, which is Mar Ukva, and his father, because how do we set up, you know, break up time periods into shorter periods of time. So we need a period of time for Achilas Basar and another period of time for Achilas Cholov. So it could be that there's the main meal of Basar, let's say midday, you know, at noon. You know, in Europe to this day it's very popular, even here in Israel to some extent. I don't know if you'll see it in your world, but I know in the working place, very often they eat fleishiks in the middle of the day. And now says Marukva, my next main meal is going to be at night. So you have that parallel here, which we see in Shmuel and Avud Shmuel, between the midday period when he checks out to see how he did in the morning and whether he lived up to his commitment, and the night to check out the rest of the day. The Gemara goes on, Abaye havi sayer nichse kol yoma v'yoma. The Gemara tells us, reports us, that Abaye would check out his karka, inspect it, every single day. But Yom Echad, on one particular occasion, Poga, he encountered Arise didari pischadufe. Now, let's talk about the word Arise, which we loosely translate in English as a sharecropper. And as Abai was checking out his real estate, then he encountered Pogash, the Oris, his own Oris. Now the Oris is someone who works in the employment of the Bala Soda, and he gets a certain percentage of the profits. And at this particular moment, when Abaye encountered the Oris, they met at some sort of point, you know, some, we'll call it location X within the field, he notices that the Oris is carrying with him, that's called Dorei. Dorei is something that you have a masa, you know, something that you carry. And Pischa di Ofe, di Ufe. We're talking about trees or wood. Now, whose Oris was this? So it seems that this was Abai's Oris, and yet he was carrying trees, and he intended this Oris to abscond with these trees, and he was caught red-handed by Abaye. And Abaye thinks that the Oris is on the way to wherever he lives, you know, to hide these pieces of wood. Wood was expensive at that time. You had to cut down trees. Trees were rare. Omaleis, Abaye says to his Oris, Hani Lehecha, I see you carrying these trees, these logs. Where are you taking them? Omaleis, the Oris responds, Lebe Mar. In other words, he tries to cover up. He doesn't want to admit that his intention was to steal it. And Abaye understood, I don't know exactly how, but Abaye knew that this was a fabrication of the truth. This is just a fig leaf. So when the Oris responds, Lebe Mar, Mar means him meaning he spoke to Abaye in third person, and he says, I'm taking you to your house. See, he was really covering up for himself. Omale, so Abaye said to him, Kvark Damuch Rabbana. The Rabbana knew about a guy like you, meaning don't trust anyone. No, it's not only, you know, we've been talking about checking out your fields and investigating, make sure that it might need tikkun, but it's not just the field and its water supply and its production, etc., but it's also the workers that you hire to work in the field. That's also part of this bidika, this checking it out. So the Chachamim encouraged us to do this. So Abaye says, you know, Abaye says, I took the Chachamim at face value, I implemented their recommendation, and on a daily basis I checked out my field. And guess what I was able to do? I was able to find you on your way to stealing something. So basically this story of Abaye and the Oris is coming to support what we saw before, that the Rabbanon will, you know, gave you very sage advice when they told you that if you want to protect your field and make sure you don't lose anything, do this bedik on a daily basis. Now again, the Shem Olam, as we said before, he doesn't want to learn this sugya as simply a course in economics or in you know, field watching, you know, saying field protection. Everything has to do with spirituality. So Abaye would use this bedika to check himself out and introspect. The Oris, according to the Chofetz Chaim, is an allegory for the Yetzer Hara. And he's mishtatef b'chol inyonav. You know, whatever man gets involved in, you know, he attaches himself to that involvement. And Abai checked out his Yetzirah. And he saw that the Yetzirah was trying to achieve a certain goal. So he turns to the Yetzirah and he says, "For whom are you doing this?" And the Yetzirah responds, "For you. This is L'shem Mitzvah." So Abai says to him, "Kvar kdamu rabbanon, al yidei shahoru, sheyachshov im nafsho b'chol yom." How do I know to be more clever than you, Mr. Yetzirah? Because I listened to the advice of the Chachamim and they taught me that I should check my nefesh out on a daily basis, and I was zocher to contemplate and to discern that your kavanah is not l'shem mitzvah. You might present yourself as the good guy. The Yetzirah always, you know, puts on a facade. Oh, why don't you do this? This would be a great mitzvah. But really, you want to cause me a loss. So through this cheshbon ha-nefesh, which was a constant involvement of Abaye in introspection, he was able to outsmart the Yetzirah. He was able to lavchin, to discern that the Yetzirah is trying to fool him. And he was telling, the Yetzirah was giving him a story that was just hot air, it was hogwash. And we'll see that the Chafetz Chaim is going to use the same approach to explain the Gemara of Rav Asi, which Emirat Hashem will do tomorrow. Amen.